Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Hello, Guardians, and welcome to Fireteam Chat. I'm your host, Ty Guy Travis. You just saw footage of Destin and his new Guardian there, who was crying in the face of Lord Shax, which tells all of us here at Fireteam Chat that he will surely be a PvE main. All right, let's get to our co-hosts here. Joining me today, we've got Paul Tassi, as usual, and of course, Brian. How you doing, guys?
McClunky.
Oh no, he stole it.
I get to do it now since you're host.
He gets to do McClunky. That's great. All right. Well, so that's good news for those of you who have been keeping up on Destin's life. He had a kid recently, so he's going to be off the show for the foreseeable future. So you're stuck with us here. But we had a lot to talk about these past 2 weeks. We've got the season of The Chosen revealed. We got a new trailer for that we're going to talk about. And we've also got some two new TWABs that had some pretty big announces in it for upcoming changes in the season and beyond. Let's get right to it and talk about kind of the biggest thing, which is next week, Season of the Chosen begins. We got a new trailer, which we're going to roll here for you guys. There's kind of a lot to talk about. So first and foremost being the new villain of this DLC is going to be Empress Keitel. She is the daughter of Kallus, Emperor Kallus, who's now in exile somewhere with a Leviathan, presumably. So lots of stuff to talk about there. What are your guys' initial thoughts about this trailer and the reveal and the new enemy and all the stuff that kind of came with that?
Paul, you want to go first?
I'll go first. It's very cool. I'm glad that kind of all the predictions about Keitel panned out. I think she's a really neat character to introduce, and I guess it's been a while since we circled back to the Cabal, so this makes sense, and it's nice to be fighting someone that isn't, like, remnants of the Red Legion for the 50 millionth time.
Right.
And we're finally moving on from that. I didn't know if we might see the return of the Leviathan itself as a zone with her appearing, but that does not seem to be the case, at least from everything we've seen from the promotional materials so far. But she might just show up on her own little ship. She's kind of got her own Kallus swag, sort of, but with a little different styling. Her armor is like kind of Persian, Mongolian, instead of Kallus's, you know, even more flamboyant look. But she has tusks, which is terrifying. And she wants Zavala to bow here, which he is clearly not going to, because why would he? Why? When have we ever really lost to the Cabal other than that one time? And then we won later anyway. So I am curious how the season plays out. It does seem kind of dumb on its face that we are fighting the Cabal when we have these very common enemies. But I think after kind of the, you know, peace talks breakdown, we will, quote, prove ourselves in battle with whatever this battlegrounds activity is as we fight our champions. And then I think by the end that maybe we'll be allied with her, and then we can all take on the darkness and Savathun together and stuff. So that's what I think this is going to pan out into, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Brian, your thoughts?
Yeah. Initially, like, going off of what you said about Zavala bowing, it's like, this kind of just shows like the arrogance of the Cabal, right? It's like, hey, we need to work together. There's a huge threat going on here. Bow. And it's like, but we got this other problem here to worry about. Why do you need me to kneel to you? And if I don't, then we're not going to fight them. We're going to fight you. It's cool. But I'm also like, like you said too, it's fantastic, because I've talked about it 1,000 times, and like, I'm kind of just like sick of like the Red Legion just hanging around. So it's going to feel really nice to have a Cabal threat that isn't the Red Legion. Although it's like, I hope, you know, you know, seeing a lot of the Cabal in the trailer and their ships and stuff, it looks very Red Legion-esque, like all of the Cabal, you know, they're like, they're still legionaries and all that stuff. So it's like, I'll kind of, we'll see if the aesthetic changes a little bit from them, from the Red Legion, because they did have their signature look in Vanilla Destiny leading up to now. So we'll, that I, it still looks mostly the same, but we'll see. But yeah, no, I'm excited for it. I'm really excited to see where the actual story goes, even after like breaking away from this huge darkness threat that we've got. So I'm interested to see where that heads.
No new Cabal enemy type from what we can tell, because people were thinking there might be like a Wyvern or whatever the tanks are called. I forget, Brig, but there's no chonky Cabal unit coming apparently, unless they're hiding it. But I don't think they would. But that's kind of too bad.
Yeah.
They use the Red Legion without using the Red Legion.
The Red Legion, but they're wearing gold necklaces now.
Yeah, I hope it's not that much. I definitely wouldn't expect a new enemy type from like an off expansion. You know, this is kind of just like a secondary season. It's $10. But yeah, it's $10 exactly.
Seasons are underpriced. That's maybe a controversial statement. I think they are underpriced. Eververse stuff might be overpriced, but seasons I think are underpriced for
regardless of whether of content. Yeah, regardless of whether or not you think the season is good, the amount of content they give over like a 3-month span, if you pull that in and like, and look at it all from an overhead perspective, that is worth way more than $10.
Yeah, at least 15. But this is going to be a very unpopular sentiment. Yeah. I can already tell.
But yeah, the comments section is going to be like, "What, you think they should charge more?" But yeah, going right into that from the content discussion, we also got a lot of content shown off, and they told us what's going to be in this new season, and it's kind of a lot. It's surprising. So we knew that we were going to get two returning strikes, the Fallen Saber and the Devil's Lair. Those are coming back, but they also revealed there's going to be a third strike called Proving Grounds, I believe. That's the third one that's coming later in the season. They also announced that there's going to be a new activity called Battlegrounds, which seems like it's possibly going to be kind of like a Prison of Elders type. It seemed like it was going to be, you know, combat focused fire team activity, which is pretty cool. And then also something called Helm that looks like it might be a new social area. What are your guys' thoughts on any of that stuff?
I was not expecting a new strike. I think that's cool. I still am not clear on whether the two strikes they're bringing back are going to have like new story components to them, or if they're like, you know, the Disgraced, they rewrote it into Beyond Light. But these two new ones, they're both Fallen focus, and this is a Cabal season. So I'm wondering if it's just like flashback strikes, or if they're actually going to kind of rewrite, you know, the end boss and like the dialogue for that, or if not. A new strike is cool. They're doing, I think it's on a moving tank. I think that was kind of the hook from what I saw, which if that's true, that would be very cool. Battlegrounds, I know everyone wanted like a 6-man matchmade activity, but 3-man matchmade activity, at least it's not, you know, just Cabal Wrathborn hunts as far as we know, which that was kind of the worst case scenario. It seems like it could be something more on the scale of Forges. There's 4 of them. I think they take place in existing like areas on the map. I don't know if there's new arenas for them. I could be wrong about that. I couldn't really tell from the trailer. But and then using Helm seems like where you go to kind of like get the upgrades and whatever for Battlegrounds, and like in, I probably target farm loot that way. I'm very curious about where Helm is. It seems to be an entirely separate social space. It does seem like it could potentially be in the old tower area, even if the old tower itself is not coming back. So that's kind of curious. And I would wonder if they're leading into a Grand Tower rework just by cleaning up that one space. But I mean, I certainly think it looks more interesting than what we had this season, which was Wrathborn hunts and nothing. and I mean, a couple story missions. So yeah, I am going to be cautiously optimistic about it for now.
Cool. Brian?
As we all always are, cautiously optimistic. That's Destiny's tagline. In regards to I kind of want to work backwards from what Paul was saying about the tower stuff with Helm. I imagine it's going to be in our current tower, though I still believe that the old tower is going to return in some way, because they're still working on it, right? You look off to the left in the tower from spawn, and you can see they got all that scaffolding up there. They're fixing it, they're doing something to it up there. So if anything we know from Bungie is that they, when they do some kind of like grand thing like that in the background, it eventually culminates into something. So I imagine that at some point that tower will come back. But in terms of the new strikes, as everybody knows, I'm a PvE main, so it's going to be great to have new strikes, even though they took away seven or so. How many did they take away?
Seven.
When they took, when Beyond Light came out. But like Fallen Saber and Devil's Lair, they're not like the Disgraced in that they were renamed, right? Because the original Disgraced was called Will of Crota. So it's like they like you were saying, they rewrote it for Beyond Light and New Light. But these two, they're just like, hey, here's Fallen Saber and Devil's Lair. And even if you look at the trailer, like the Sepix looks the same as he did, mm-hmm. In D1. He doesn't look like Perfected. It doesn't look like a different version of him. He kind of just looks like Sepix Prime. So it's going to be interesting. And I think they're just going to be carbon copies.
So weird though, wouldn't it? Flashback to specific missions in Destiny 1 with old voice work and stuff. It's going to be so weird.
It's going to be very weird, but I think I don't know what they're going to do, because they're going to base it around New Lights, and it's like, oh, you woke up in the Fallen, the devil, the House of Devils are wreaking havoc on, I don't know, man. It's weird. I can't rationalize it. But I am glad that those strikes will be in the game, because, well, one, Devil's Lair being like the very first strike we've ever played in the Destiny franchise.
And one of the best ones.
And it still holds up as like a really good like strike on like what you can expect from moment to moment in a strike mission. So I'm glad to be playing that again. So me excited for those, even though it's old content.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of the same as you guys. Like it sounds good. There is going to be a little bit of awkwardness with them returning to specific strikes from D1 with the D1 story. But hey, I mean, I think they're going to have to do that anyway, right? We're getting the old Vault of Glass raid. Like they're clearly going to be putting D1 content out of the Destiny vault and putting it into Destiny 2. So I think this is just going to be something that happens from going forward for Destiny. The other thing is, kind of not resting on their laurels with, here's one group activity to do for the rest of the season. They also announced equipment that we're going to be getting. So we've got a new bow that looks like it's going to fire like hot nails out of the end of it.
Hot nails. Pretty cool.
Yeah, they're like flaming arrows that home in on people. We've got a Tex Mechanica unknown exotic, which a lot of people are speculating might be the first curse. Probably is the first curse.
It's going to be the first curse.
Why? You make a new one.
I agree. I'm with you. I'm tired.
I want the lever action rifle everyone keeps talking about that they should make.
They should just remake a sniper rifle. No Land Beyond.
Oh yeah.
As a Vox Machina weapon, and just make that have that lever action on that, and remake it a Tex Machina weapon. That's pie in the sky. But I still think it's going to be a kinetic first curse.
You're probably right. I hope you're wrong. We've had enough hand cannons. They should do something new. But yeah, then they also revealed, the new armor sets, which we got to look at in the trailer earlier, with some very interesting designs. I think a lot of people don't like them. I kind of think, at least they're different, right? They're not something we've seen before, which is cool for me. And then also the new stasis aspect they announced is going to be acquirable in the game. Hopefully that'll give people another reason to log on. Also the trials armor, adept weapons, legendaries to chase after. So how are you guys feeling about the amount of kind of loot to chase in the game, and what has been revealed so far? Brian,
you want to go first?
Loot has to matter, right? That's always the thing, right? It's like, there's a bunch of new stuff, there's a bunch of new guns to do, a bunch of new armor sets to do, all these adept weapons, but it doesn't matter unless they're good, right? That's plain and simple. That's like the plainest and simple way I can put it, is like, as long as it is good and it's effective and I want to use it, because like I don't want to chase something that I don't want to use for the sake of going to get it just so you know, because the title tells me, hey, use X weapon in X activity during the season of the Chosen to get the title. It's like, that's not a good reason to chase loot. So I'm hoping that the weapons look cool, right? Like, especially the seasonal weapons look great. They look, like a modernized, I don't want to say modernized version because it's set in the future, but a modernized version of Leviathan weapons, and they look really cool. So I'm just hoping that rocket launcher is a good rocket launcher with the 30% buff they're all getting. And yeah, like the, like you're saying, the seasonal armor looks kind of weird. Not into it, even though it's different than what we've had before. What I'm interested in is that Trials armor. Trials armor looks really cool. I'm into that.
Yeah, it really does. Also, we got to look at some new armor from Guardian Games that looks maybe to me like Sparrow Racing League. No, you don't think so? All right, well,
it's not coming back.
It was slim last time.
Let it go.
Sparrow Racing
should it come back, Paul? Should it come back?
I wouldn't, like, I would enjoy it. I would play it. I actually really, I like the Sparrow Racing armor, which I think looks better than this Guardian Games armor, but it's too resource intensive, I think, to design those elaborate courses for just a limited time event. And I think that's why they stopped doing it. I know the community is going to keep asking for it forever, but I think it's going to be like a faction rally thing where it's never going to come back. In terms of the stuff they are adding, it's hard to know. We are racking up a lot of stuff. I think I did a post on this today, and it was, we know about 30 weapons that are coming, and they said over 25. That 30 does include some reprised weapons, like all the 8 ones that are coming back from the old destinations. But there is a lot, and I guess we don't really know until we know the exact like perk pools on these, and we know we're getting new perks too. So it's, again, like you said, it's hard to know like if they'll actually be good enough. So far, adept weapons have not really been like totally game changing to get like adept trials weapons. So I'm not sure if adept strike weapons will fill that role. I think everyone is curious about the ritual grenade launcher. Yes. Salvager's Salvo, which everyone is assuming is just going to be Mountaintop 2, but I have faith that maybe is it for sure kinetic?
I don't know. I was wondering if you guys know.
I don't think we know for sure, but yeah. My hope is that it could be more PvE focused if they give it something like chain reaction. Salvo is something that one of my readers told me, like in the military, that's like a bombardment of rockets, so it could be like a multiple fire thing. I am curious if they're ever going to go back to doing ritual weapons that are like really unique, like all the old ones used to be, like Recluse and things like that, like they said they were going to, because up until recently, like the past few sets of ritual weapons have been pretty normal weapons with existing perks that you just pick between and they have good stats. So like, I think that's fine. It's just, it's kind of boring and it's not what the point of pinnacle ritual weapons were. And if all those old ones are sunset, kind of time to start introducing the new powerful ones again. I guess Adored is pretty powerful in PvP, but so I'm hoping it's good and fun and not gonna wreck PvP even more than PvP is already wrecked. But I guess we'll see.
And kind of the whole point of them sunsetting was, hey, we can try new things and give you more powerful weapons that maybe will break things for a little while, and that's okay because they won't be in the meta forever. But yeah, we're seeing that they're really, like you said, not taking advantage of that opportunity, which is really weird. Okay, cool. So that kind of covers what we saw in the trailer in the Season of Chosen. That begins on Tuesday for all of you out there who are wondering when you start playing this. So we'll be back with a show in 2 weeks where we'll have all had plenty of time to play the new season, and we'll report on it and let you guys know our thoughts. Moving on to the TWABs. We had 2 TWABs while we were out. The first one talked about balance patches and some of kind of the general housekeeping stuff. And then the most recent one had more to say about Season of the Chosen and kind of what we can expect. So wanted to go over some of that stuff first. The first thing that they talked about in the TWAB from 2 weeks ago was the seasonal challenges that are happening. So they're replacing weekly bounties that you grab from vendors with these seasonal challenges that look like they give you bright dust, and there's kind of like a checklist that's already in your inventory. They gave us a few screenshots. Do you guys have any opinions on this? Are you excited for this? Do you think bounties were a better idea? Or is this sort of just like, hey, look, another small, you know, meta change for how we're doing missions in Destiny? It doesn't really matter. What do you guys think? Paul?
It's fine. I mean, I don't know how you could get like excited about seasonal challenges. It's
right, just, that's kind of my reaction.
It sounds like a more streamlined version of the concept of bounties, where I don't mind like doing all weekly bounties on all 3 characters is not terribly enjoyable. So, like if you were just hard bright dust farming. So I'm not really going to miss that going away. And if these are kind of sufficient XP bright dust replacements, I think overall bright dust is being cut, but it should take a lot less effort to get the amount that you can get. So in like, so overall, I think it's probably worth it. It's something that's needed to happen for a long time, like an overhaul, but I'm kind of sad that like that got overhauled and we're still doing consumable shaders, something I want overhauled for a million years, but I guess that's lower priority. I think it'll be fine, unless there's, you know, this proves to be some sort of huge bright dust drought. Maybe that would be bad, but as long as the UI is streamlined and it's kind of easy to access and comprehend, I think it'll probably be a better system than the weekly bounty chase was.
Agreed. Brian, do you have thoughts on the mouse and keyboard nerfs?
Switching it up.
And he leaves.
I don't know. I feel like they could have just fixed controllers instead of breaking mouse and keyboard. I didn't mean that in a bad way. I didn't mean like, oh, controllers are terrible. You should play a mouse and keyboard. But I mean like everybody, you know, a lot of the things that people are complaining about have been a problem because of controllers. So it's like maybe just, I don't know, fix recoil on controllers instead of just, it's weird. It's going to be a very weird feeling because like it's going to change what I know about Destiny and I have to reacclimate to the way I, the gunplay works in a lot of ways. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I'll have to like test it out to see how much of it actually changes. But I don't know.
It's an interesting concept. I mean, do you think weapons should have recoil on mouse and keyboard, or because they kind it's of don't, that, at not, least some of the subtypes?
It's not that I don't think that they shouldn't. It's that this is the system we're used to, right? So it's like, this is what we know, you know, this is how we play Destiny and this is how Destiny feels when we're playing it. So like people who main mouse and keyboard have a certain thought and, you know, visual and how they, you know, they're tactical in the way they play the game. So when you just massively change how the guns react and how they perform or behave, then it's just like, I don't want to say it's a different game, but it's just now I have to adjust how I play this game, which is kind of weird.
Right. For those who aren't keeping like a close eye on this, the reason they're making these changes, according to the TWAB, is they're getting ready for crossplay. So this is something they've wanted for a while. You know, people who are on Xbox to play with PlayStation and all of those to play with PC. Stadia, I guess, if that's still a thing by the time crossplay launches. Not really sure. But all those. So if the worry is that if people on mouse and keyboard are playing by a different set of rules, that it'll affect how they're playing with people on console. So hopefully, I don't know. I would prefer it if they gave option for people on console to like opt out of crossplay with people on PC for cheater reasons, not for mouse and keyboard reasons. It's because I hide on Xbox because I don't want to play trials with people on PC because just the terrible experiences there. So hopefully they'll address that, because that to me seems like a way bigger problem than, you know, recoil on mouse and keyboard. Is like, are you going to allow, you know, people that aren't playing by the rules into the community for consoles that are largely like not experiencing that issue right now? So that'll be interesting. Any other thoughts on that whole debate of crossplay or any of the control stuff?
I had similar thoughts about just how they're going to do the matchmaking pool. Like, this made me think that maybe they're just going to throw everyone together. Like, I figured it might be like they might match by input, or they might do something where like, okay, if you're on console and you want to play with your PC buddies, you can do that, but like you'll probably be the only console person in like a PC lobby. And then they're not just going to like, you know, it's not going to be like a huge mix of all players at all times. Whereas even with recoil changes, I mean, PC's still going to have an advantage. I mean, most of the time, I would imagine. So I am curious about how they're doing pools. And the cheating thing is obviously a big deal too, because console players just really don't have to deal with cheaters in any meaningful capacity. And if they suddenly become like infected by the cheaters of PC, like that's just going to make PvP worse for, you know, the remaining 60-70% of the community on console. So it could do more harm than good. Like, yeah, you can play with your friends more openly now, but if you're going to run into a bunch of cheaters in PvP, that's probably a net negative. So this has to be paired with a lot more anti-cheat stuff as ever. But so I am concerned about that aspect of it. Yeah.
It is another positive for PvE players though, because none of this affects PvE. Like, who cares if the person you match up with in the strike is on PC? Who cares? Fine.
True. Better. True. Yeah. It is better. Yeah. Okay, cool. So let's move on to some of the buffs and debuffs coming for weapons. So Brian, you mentioned this earlier, but we got a buff coming for rocket launchers, long overdue, in my opinion. We've got one for Very long. Should we just talk about that before I go down the laundry list? Yeah.
We can if you want to, like, because it's insane.
It's the most major buff out of anyone. Yeah.
It's insane how long. Were you serious about going on talking about?
No, I'm serious. Launchers? Please talk about rocket launchers.
Yeah, it's insane how long they went under tuned, right? I mean, like, yes, they. Like some specific exotics have, you know, had their light, you know, their time in the light, you know, like Wardcliff or legendaries with cluster bombs on Riven. But oh yeah, truth too. But yeah, like it's, you know, but largely using a rocket launcher in PvE just sucks right now.
It does. Yeah, I remember I got I was playing Trials and I got a god roll on the Trials rocket launcher and I told the group and they all just started laughing. It's like, hey man, I got a god roll on a rocket launcher
now. I don't even know. I'm curious because like this doesn't really solve the main issue that people had with rocket launchers, which was one in the chamber like almost all the time unless you like have ambitious assassin or something. So I mean 30% is a significant increase, so that alone could be enough to like make it a significant DPS option. I also wonder if they're going to add any new rocket launcher perks because so many rocket launchers are just very boring. Like I think if they got cluster or whatever the chain reaction, they got chain reaction, but like if you're doing boss DPS, chain reaction's not really going to be doing much for you. So I'm curious to see like how this works in practice. I think it's obviously long overdue. I was surprised to see no buffs additionally to machine guns or linear fusions because they're like, oh, well, everyone uses swords, but then they're only buffing rockets. So why are they not also buffing linear fusions and machine guns? Machine guns especially got nerfed when they when you could auto load them with like barriers and the well and stuff, and they never got unnerfed after you could no longer do that. So they're kind of just mob clearing now for the most part. So I'm surprised to see that nerf sticking around. I don't even know what a rocket launcher god roll is, so I gotta look through my collection, but I don't know if this will 100% fix the issues rocket launchers have had just with a damage increase. And then some bosses, like, you know, you're still gonna sword Atrax to death. Like, you're not gonna just, everyone's gonna switch to rockets, I don't think, on Atrax. Watch me eat my words when, like, you know, the new strat is like six Deathbringers or something on Atrax now, but
I think Eyes of Tomorrow. I think Eyes of Tomorrow still does like a massive amount of damage to Atrax. Like,
is that a bug or is that?
I think it might be a bug in how much damage it does to him. So I don't know.
I know Eyes is like does bad boss damage on purpose. I thought for the most part,
yeah, for sure.
I also do not have eyes, so I will not be able to test that after the bug.
Brian. Apparently, your chances go up every time you beat the final boss.
That was the most confusing Joe Blackburn post I've ever seen.
I spent
4 hours analyzing what he said in that tweet. Yeah. I was like, I don't understand these drop chances.
To quote somebody I was talking to, Teddy, you know, we mentioned him a lot on the show, but he, you know, he made a good point about Joe Blackburn's tweet, and he said that has little meaning if you don't put numbers behind it, because it could go up, you know, your chances could go up by 0.001%. You know, if you don't give us numbers, we don't know how much our chances increase. And he used the term accounts. So if like you play the raid, your chance goes up once that week. So your other two characters don't have increased chances of getting it, presumably based on, you know, him choosing his words and saying accounts and not per character base. So
yeah, for all we know, because they didn't give us numbers, the numbers could actually not go up at all. I mean, that your chances technically go up the more you try it. So maybe that's what he was trying to say. Keep playing.
I said watch there be a bug where they think it's going up and it's actually like subtracting 2% every week, and everyone's at like -30% now, and that's why no one's getting it anymore.
Yeah. I've done it every week. I still don't have it, man. So that one's upsetting. But yeah, going back to buffs and debuffs, they also said they're going to be buffing regular fusion rifles, not linear, and also breach grenade launchers. And then we're also getting debuffs to sniper rifles again and swords, which I guess swords is probably long overdue. But what are your guys' thoughts on those buffs or debuffs? Ryan hates
just like, come on, man. Like, the sniper rifles in Destiny are an incredible roller coaster. Like, if you put it in a theme park, I would have so much fun on that thing. I would get in line again. No, but like, it's it's crazy that they just keep on just going with the sniper rifles. It's just like, it's wild to me. It's just like, pick a spot, pick where we want them to be. But more specifically on the swords, like, you take away 15% because you say 65% of the base is only using swords, right? It's like, all right, cool. Maybe that's a problem for everything else and not swords. Like, right. I think when they're like, oh, we're going to bring it down by 15%. But it's like, I think swords are still 15% better than linear fusion rifles, right? You taking away 15% of my damage on swords isn't going to suddenly make me want to use sleeper simulant again, right? Like, that thing and all linear fusion rifles need a much more significant bump than just like 15% to bring it in line with swords. Like, those things are kind of just laughably bad right now. And I think their band-aid solution of 65% of players using swords down 15% is terrible. I don't know. It's a weird compromise. I don't know why Dave decided to go with that rather than just like fixing problems with other heavy weapons.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird to hear them explain decisions based on like, okay, 65% of people are using swords in the heavy. It's like, okay, well, you designed the hardest boss encounter in the raid around something on the ground that is easy to hack down, and you made Lament the best exotic of the season that is a sword. So like, yeah, I guess I understand why, you know, 65% of people would be using swords at any given time, and then add in more sword use for three peaking. And then that's all the sword use you really need. And then I'm sure the other 35% is like Anarchy, Xenophage. That's, I don't know, probably nothing really besides that. So yep. I think they need to take a longer look at heavies. I honestly don't think the 15% nerf will do anything. I mean, like Brian said, like it won't change anything. Like, you're still going to use... Like, yeah, okay, you'll do 15% less damage as a group, but like, that's probably still enough to one phase whatever you want, like, for the most part. Especially on, if, you know, Lament itself probably needed more of a nerf than swords in general. Like, I don't think nerfing all swords, because like, all swords are clearly not created equal. Like, did Bequests really need a nerf? You know what I mean? Like, it seems like a blanket solution that is not probably going to fix the problem in the first place. I forgot what the other changes were. Fusions, I think sniper, that's just to get people fusion. Using them. Yeah. What was it?
Sniper rifle fusion and
breach. Oh, sniper rifle. Yeah. Sniper. I don't snipe.
Can I talk about sniper rifle anyway. For
yeah,
a sec?
Yeah. Go for it.
Like a PvP main, this is the one that really got to me, because their description was, we're finding that, you know, when somebody is using a sniper rifle in PvP and encounters somebody and gets hit, they can still win the encounter. And it's like, well, yeah, I'm using a sniper rifle, man. I'm taking all the risk. I have to hit you in the head. Like, it's a difficult thing. And you're just like, oh, yeah, we want to make them worse, make it harder for you to get it. I get it, man. Like, I'm used to Halo, and Halo, they've got, you know, de-scoping when you get hit. So if you're aiming with a sniper and somebody nicks you, you automatically get de-scoped. But the difference is, in Halo, you can shoot somebody from across the map because there's no recoil, because you're Spartan with, like, you know, diamond arms holding on to your sniper rifle. So it's just a different situation for me. So that one kind of bummed me out. I just really wish that sniper rifles were, I mean, I understand they shouldn't define the meta, but for the people that are really good with sniper rifles, I think that they should be able to, you know, dominate the battlefield with them. That's kind of the dream of that. I don't know, man. I just think back to trials in the D1 days where everybody had a sniper equipped, and that was just kind of understood. You know, you don't peek around a corner, you play it smart, because if somebody's good, they're going to pop you. And I kind of miss that. So,
well, anyway, that's for PvE again, too, because I mean, they're not really like a PvE thing anymore. So
that's true.
I think they need love there, too. And all the PvP nerfs, at least to some degree, still affect their use in PvE. So I think they're in a pretty bad spot outside of, like, you know, CloudStrike or a couple exceptions. So.
Yeah, it's weird to think that we used to melt bosses by just shooting them with a sniper rifle in the head as much as we can, because, like, well, it's the exact
days, sit in the back and just.
Well, that's just so different now.
Response to Bungie, like, insisting that every boss have a sort of mechanic that you know, if you get too close, you're gonna die, or it's gonna, you know, fling you across the map. So it's like, well, we, you know, say every time Bungie designs like an encounter around something that the community does, we're gonna find a way around it. And they're like, well, we gotta fix that. And then, you know, then they create a new problem that we find a way around it, and then they try to fix that. And it's just like,
we're just gonna give Atrax stop now, so we can't.
Yeah, exactly right. It's like if you're
doing his thing, and then he'll just like stop at the same time.
It's gonna shoot everyone out. They're gonna add burn damage, and it's just gonna keep burning you the closer you are.
That would solve it, wouldn't it? Yeah, and then the other buffs or DOS we got, they're reworking the way the Aeon Colt armor works, which I thought was really interesting. I've never seen anybody use those pieces, but apparently they're trying to go. Yeah, for good reason. They're making another pass at trying that. And then they also announced that they're going to be adding some exotic catalysts that have been taken out of the game back in, including the two I need, which are Telesto and Legend of Acrius, which I didn't get from the raid. So I'm excited for those. I think those should have been in the game to begin with. You should have been able to buy them from that little console they have. But I like that they're adding them back. I'm excited for that. Do you guys have any thoughts on Exotic Catalysts or Aeon Colt? I know those are kind of weirder ones, but I don't know. Maybe you're excited to everybody in their party on Aeon Colt armor and seeing if we can make that a thing.
Still don't think it's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still like core exotics that work with like major builds in the game that I don't know. Like me, I'm curious to see how people take it in a PvE, because it sounds like it might affect PvP and more so than PvE. Like it might be more beneficial there. But I don't know, man. Like end game PvE, I don't see Cult of Aeon doing anything for anybody.
I don't know. I mean, the finishers that give you like special and heavy and stuff as your team, that seems like that could be pretty good for GM Nightfalls and stuff, and it gives you things on stun for all champions. I mean, I was impressed with how elaborate that rework was. They essentially put like six exotic perks into one exotic, like, you know, going through all the mods. I do wonder if exotic mods now could be a future way to make exotics more interesting and bring life to some ones that are clearly not great. I guess that might be getting too far ahead of ourselves at this point.
Yeah, I mean, like armor catalysts could be a thing, right? We've had weapon catalysts for a long time. Yeah. What's to say they can't just start making catalysts for armor, right?
Yeah. And what was the other thing we were talking about besides that?
The exotic catalyst.
Regular catalyst. Yeah, no, I'm always excited for more catalysts, and I never got any of the raid. I didn't even bother trying to go for the raid ones because it was just such a pain to do to hard mode runs of them. Like, I didn't care enough about those to get them, but now that if they're just gonna like drop them from world sources, or I mean, that's a good reason. Like, I would grind the strike playlist to get, you know, all four of the catalysts I'm missing from that list. Like, I would absolutely do that. I guess it just took them a while because they had to redesign some of the objectives, because like some of the sleeper objectives, for instance, you just couldn't do anymore to complete it. I don't know how hard it is to like rewrite. I mean, like kill 500 things instead. I don't know. But so I am excited to see those back. I really hope that we get some new catalysts. I am at this point expecting the heir apparent catalyst for Guardian Games, because I mean, that gun is obviously going to come back itself during Guardian Games. And when the new icon of the freaking catalyst page has heir apparent right on it, it's like in the middle of it. So, and Leviathan's Breath was on there too. And I think Deathbringer too.
Wait, what did you say?
What?
You said Leviathan's Breath was on there too?
Yeah, and we just got that one last season. Unless you totally missed that. Did you?
Did I get that?
Yeah, I got it.
I did get it. Yes, I did get it. I forget what the catalyst does. Yeah, I forget
what it gives. Increases ammo reserves, which is
Wrathborns to get it. Yeah,
hilarious. Like, I love that that is what it does, because it just shows how simplistic catalysts can be. But at this point, I think people want catalysts for orbs, for a lot of like the primaries, because it just, you feel like you're at a significant disadvantage if you're running like a weapon that doesn't spawn orbs. Like, forget what bonuses the catalysts give. Like, even just spawning orbs is not great. So I'm hoping to see actual new catalysts, but for now, I guess I will take the four I'm missing that I have to farm for.
Totally. Yeah, I'm excited for that too. And then the final thing that was on the TWAB and kind of our final discussion today before we do our Bungie pleases is... We've got, they announced something that we kind of long suspected, which is that they're not going to be doing Crimson Days this year. I know a lot of people didn't have high opinions of Crimson Days, myself included, for the past couple of years. Although it does speak to kind of a larger attitude in Destiny recently, which is that PvP is not really a priority for them, right? Crimson Days was kind of our one seasonal PvP event. And while announcing three new strikes in the season of The Chosen, they have no new Crucible maps. We've got Trials coming back. At least they put some armor and new weapons into that. But by and large, Crucible continues to get the short end of the stick. So do you guys think it's a good thing that Crimson Days is gone? Did you like it before? Do you think they should have stuck it out and tried to make it good? I don't know. And what are your thoughts on just Crucible in larger?
I think Crimson Days is like a 5-second conversation, and Crucible being ignored is like a 40-minute conversation.
Right. Well, then keep it.
I mean, Crimson Days, like, I understand it because A, it's not a very good event. Like, Crimson Doubles is fine, but it probably just should have been put in a playlist somewhere. And then Crimson Doubles now with Stasis would be just, that would just be a nightmare. I can't even imagine how that would go. But the event itself is fine. You get pink items, and they had the good bow that one time. But, like, it's not a very substantive event. It also, the timing would have been weird because they would have essentially been launching the season right when they were supposed to have Crimson Day start, because it's a Valentine's Day event. And, you know, the season's starting like 5 days before Valentine's Day. So it makes sense to cut it for many reasons. I'm hoping Guardian Games can come back and be like, if you're going to have an event, like, it should be a significant event and, like, really, really kind of have a lot of stuff going for it. I think Guardian Games had plenty of its own problems, you know, last time it came around, but maybe they've evolved it since then. The PvP thing, I mean, obviously it's being ignored. They haven't, this kind of manifested over the holiday, especially, have not talked in the TWAB about it at all at any point. This season arrived with pretty much nothing for PvP other than a couple of things for trials. And we're probably not going to hear anything about it until the state of the game sometime in the season. And I don't think anyone is celebrating that. So it's rough.
Makes sense. Brian, any thoughts on Crimson Days going this year?
I'll be honest. I played Crimson Days once in my career.
That's kind of all you need to.
That was in Destiny 1 with Sean Finnegan. One time I played played Crimson Doubles, and I never touched it again after that. But so my opinions on Crimson Doubles, bye.
All right.
It's,
well,
like, I don't have any opinions on it. I don't know.
I have really good memories of Crimson Days. You know, it's like I had that one guy I always played PvP with, and we would jump into that playlist when Crimson Doubles was around, because obviously we weren't with girls on Valentine's Day, we would just go in and just own people, and people would message us and call us sweaty tryhards because we were just, you know, dominating that playlist. And I guess I have some good memories from it. I understand why they're, you know, not doing it this season. And I really wish that they'd put more emphasis in PvP, but it is what it is. I guess we'll see if they do it next year, or if PvP just gets any next kind year. Of event, you know? Yeah, next year.
You meant Crimson Days. I thought you meant all of PvP. They'll focus on PvP next year.
Don't hold your breath for either of those.
Yeah, for either of those, I would say I'd be lucky if I got it by next year. All right. So yeah, that is the last thing we had to talk about. We got about 5 minutes left. And for those of you who've been watching the show the past couple of weeks, we've noticed that there's a trend where we tend to list all the things that are bothering us about Destiny at the end of the show. So we thought we would turn it into a segment, at least while Destin's away, called Bungie Please, where we just take turns going through the panel and listing off all the things that are annoying us and that we'd like Bungie to change. Brian, I know you've got one, so why don't you kick it off and tell us your Bungie Please for the week?
So my pitch to Bungie is called Season of the Break, and it's where the content of it is void. There's nothing. There's no content. It's a season where they just take the time to flesh out another season or the expansion and fix a bunch of quality of life changes, which, like, is just on a grander scale. I think Bungie could benefit from not having four seasons in a calendar year. Or not a calendar year, but, you know, in between expansions. I don't know. That's my pitch. That's my Bungie Please. You can take a break if you want.
Love it. Love it. Paul, do you have a Bungie Please?
All right. I'll skip my No Blues one because I did that last time. But I'll get really specific, where now there's this thing where if you're trying to, like, browse through all your shaders and, like, preview them, you can preview it, and then you go back to look at a new shader and it resets the whole menu. So you have to go all the way back through all the different menus and collections to get back to shaders for each shader you're trying to look at now. So that sucks. I mean, obviously I want non-consumable shaders, but in terms of a very specific, very annoying thing, I'm going to drill down on that for this week.
Excellent. All right, my Bungie please this week is, Bungie, please don't make me get on my Sparrow and fly to the other side of the map. I don't want to do that. I'm talking, give me a drop point at every point in the map once I've explored it, or make a quest where I can unlock it. I know you love those. Give me bounties that I have to do to unlock these drop zones. But please, I'm tired of getting in my Sparrow and flying to the farthest place on the map so that I can, you know, do an activity that takes like 4.5 minutes. That's my Bungie.
You're getting a Europa one.
I know. I saw that.
Plenty of maps need that, though. You're right.
Plenty of maps need that. I think that should be built in. I mean, come on. It's what year is it? It's 2021. I think we should have fast travel down by this point. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's my Bungie please. All right. That's it for this week, guys. Join us in 2 weeks for another episode. And until then, Guardians out.
Does that work?
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.